All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number on the line. And I'm glad he's here, Fred Gordon, attorney. Fred Gordon, former alderman for the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Fred, I wanted to talk. You've run campaigns, and what are your thoughts, man, about what's happening? Here's a woman, a Democrat representative, who openly admits she wants nothing to do with Biden on the campaign trail. And you know, her name is Abigail Spanberger of Virginia. And she wants to make it clear, I don't want to be connected or associated with the president, a Democratic president of the United States. I'm going to run my campaign separate from him. I don't want, man, when did that start happening, man?
Is this a Democratic candidate?
Yes, yes. Democratic representative.
Oh, she's running for Congress?
Yes. She wants to separate herself from, you know, President Biden because she's afraid in Virginia. It's a toss-up district. And so she said, I intend to do the campaigning myself, Spanberger replied. I am the candidate. It's my name on the ballot. Certainly when I first ran, I ran in a R plus 7 district, and I won in that seat by getting out and speaking to voters. She doesn't want...
Oh, so she's in it.
Go ahead,
I'm trying to figure out who this woman is. I've never heard of her. But
no, I've never heard of her either, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is, you know, there are many Democrats who want to separate themselves from the president of the United States because of what Joe Biden is underwater. And so they think that, you know, connecting with Joe Biden is an anchor around their necks. But I don't ever recall, Fred, you know, people who are Democrats who want to make sure I'm not connected with the president of the United States.
Well, again, not knowing who this woman is, I understand what you're saying. And given that she has run for re-election, and this is a re-election bid,
right?
I assume.
Re-election.
I find it refreshing because she's saying that.
She's saying that Democrats need new leadership across the board.
Yeah, I get that part.
Right.
And you know, blaming Biden is good politics for those folk who believe that it's good politics. You know, Joe Biden doesn't have credibility in many respects. He's lost a substantial amount of credibility in the African-American community because we put him in the White House.
No question.
And thus far, from what I've been seeing, black folk have been leaving the White House in droves. People who were working at the White House are now leaving. Look at, when was the last time you heard something about the vice president?
Well, they've certainly been leaving Kamala Harris's office.
Yeah, and as a result, there are real issues going on in the Biden administration that have kind of been glossed over because of the inflation that we're talking about and all that that entails. And now he's over trying to fix NATO in Europe. And the reason why his numbers are low is because he's too old. He's just too old. And I know a lot of people have issues with that, and that's fine, but that's my opinion. And, you know, I'm 72, and I'm looking at a 79-year-old guy who does not inspire confidence. But when we voted for him, we voted for him because we had to get rid of Trump.
Yeah, but it didn't have to be him because there were other people who were running to win the nomination.
No, it's like Jim Clyburn said, we know Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
He was familiar.
Yeah, but
we wanted to get rid of Trump. We wanted to get rid of Trump.
And they thought that sense. The only way that that could happen was Joe Biden, is what Clyburn was saying.
Absolutely. And I agree with him. At that time, it made perfect sense. But we didn't know. I didn't know what kind of President Biden was going to be. Now I do. and it's problematic for me.
No question.
Because I'm waiting for something to instill the kind of passion that I had when Obama was in office. That's not happening. And that's a big part of my political being, you know, to be able to look at the president and the commander-in-chief and the person who I voted for and get something more than just platitudes and, you know, stumbles and bumbles. And as a result, Biden hasn't delivered. And I think he probably wants to, but I don't know if he's able to.
Fred, he's not able to, man. Fred, he's not able to. I mean, to put a man as, and I don't know, we talk about his age, but are we saying that no man that age should be in that position, that that's too important and too powerful a position? Ronald Reagan was there. You know, you look at some guys who are in the same age demographic as Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, for instance, who's a little older than Joe Biden. But nobody would say that Bernie Sanders is too old to be in that position because he can conduct himself. He's in a position, Fred, that he is not as, what's the word I want to use?
Well, man? You know, he's driven by his ideology.
Yeah,
and
but
that gives him energy.
Yeah, but physically seems to be much stronger an individual than Joe Biden, right? I mean, he seems to be health-wise a much stronger person in his 80s.
Well, yeah, I agree. He seems that way. I don't know. I think he might have had some issues.
Yeah, a while back, right.
Yeah, but nothing currently. No, I just thought that I would see more dynamism from Biden, and I agree with you totally that he's not able to convey that. And that's why I think he's totally befuddled by the fact that he's not popular and that no one thinks that he should run for re-election, even though he thinks so.
Hey, Fred, we're all shells of ourselves, right? I mean, that's what happens when the life cycle gives you X amount of years, and then I don't care who you are. So we're not who we were, none of us. But Joe Biden, you and I remember Joe Biden in his 60s and in his 50s, how powerful a man he was and how strong he was. And then you see him today, and man, you know, and they knew that with him going in, that he...
Oh, yeah, I think they knew that, and that's why at that time, the electorate said, anybody but Trump, man. Anybody but Trump. And I still think that that was viable. I still believe in that. So I'm willing to say, all right, he's been underwhelming to say the least, but his term isn't over yet.
Yeah,
there are those folks that want that term to be over with so they can move on. But the question is, move on to who?
I know.
Because Biden is going to be the standard bearer. I don't see him. I don't see anybody running against him during the next election fight.
Fred, let's go to the phone lines. No, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man? What do you say?
Hey, Fred, quick question for you. Number one, do you think that Joe Biden and some of these other Democratic politicians, even like Barack Obama, were actually acting stupid at times when they really weren't? They were actually working, you know, for the big corporations because of Citizens United and money in politics? That's my one question. And number two, if Joe Biden decided not to run, would you actually vote for Bernie Sanders? Because I still think Bernie has got what he's had his whole life. And I think one of the big things we have with Bernie is that we feel we can trust him because he hasn't been bought out by the big billionaire donors. And I don't know any younger people that can actually say that. But I know Kamala is definitely not
the answer.
She's
not the answer.
They have neutered her like she's a first lady, for God's sakes. I know I have
a bad position for her to be in anyway. She should have been the attorney general. But to answer your second question.
Yes, I agree.
I would vote for Bernie. You know, I would vote for Bernie because ideologically, I think his drive and passion stems from his belief in what America should be and what America can be. And that's been something that I think makes him still relevant.
Right.
And I'm talking about Bernie. You asked me would I vote for Bernie, and I would vote for Bernie.
I agree with you.
If Biden were not available. That would be a vote that I would strongly consider. But as far as the other candidate, special interests control pretty much everything that goes on in America. And I think that for a lot of power politicians, they get the opportunity to pick which source they want to get their revenue from. Now that Obama is funding his monument to his presidency, that's his main thing. And to divide, and you know, to give dollars of information and inspiration to young people. That's what he's doing in this presidency, his post presidency.
Hey,
I think all the others are similarly situated.
Tom.
Fred,
we got to go to a break. Hang on, Tom. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. Welcome back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Fred Gordon, Attorney Fred Gordon, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Fred, you are a strong, you know, supporter and member of the Democratic Party during your time in this city. Strong member of the Democratic Party. When I hear you say, you know, Bernie Sanders and Bernie, and I get it, Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. Do you think at any point in time that has an impact on the Democratic Party? Do you ever foresee the fact that, you know, Bernie Sanders is an independent, that the Democrats would ever put him up as their nominee?
No, I don't. I think that, like the Republican Party, the Democratic Party is primarily interested in its own existence. The Democratic Party is no longer the, quote, party of the little guy, unquote. That's what I think you and I grew up thinking, you know, when we were young. And when we talked about Democrats, we talked about people who were concerned about workers' rights and people who are concerned about a living wage,
right,
and people
right.
who are concerned about climate change and environmental issues. To that extent, the Democratic Party does not have what I call the gravitas that it used to have when I was growing up. I vote Democratic, to be sure, and I will continue to. I will never vote for a Republican. The only Republican that I would have considered voting for, if he had run for office, would have been Colin Powell prior to him getting into the Bush situation. But the Democratic Party now is still struggling, you know, to have an impact. Because let's face it, to be a Democrat, I was reading an article in the New York Times about the moderate Democrat. Remember when there used to be moderate Democrats?
Yeah, I do.
They don't exist anymore. They don't exist anymore. It's either you're far left or you're totally out the box. And, you know, black folks have become special interest groups instead of strong. And we're still the strongest part of the party.
So,
in terms of our voting block.
So Fred,
and we've proven that.
So let me ask you that when we see the Democratic Party as it is now constituted in that divide with the progressives and the progressives that are pushing the Democratic Party, and yet we still have the other side of the Democratic Party that is not ready to move the way the progressives are pushing them. What kind of damage, you know, and that divide that exists between those two wings of the party, is that going to hurt the party as it moves forward in the midterm elections from your perspective?
Oh, it absolutely is. I think it's hurting the party right now. Let's be clear. The Republicans are going to swamp in the midterms. There's no question about that. And the Democrats can't do anything about it. The Democrats couldn't do anything about Roe v. Wade, even though it was already tipped that it was going to go that way. So, you know, they become feckless. They're dame. What's the old saying? A dollar short and
a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, that's the way the Dems are, and they don't have anybody that's really powerful enough to erase the specter of Joe Biden.
So then, Fred, so let me ask you, man, because again, I remember you being very involved in the Democratic Party when you were here. Is it now time? When you look at the one side of the Democratic Party, it has just gotten too old. I mean, let's be clear, man. It is too old, and people can say what they will about Nancy Pelosi and others, but man, come on, man. Time has really kind of passed her by, and you know it. That's not going to happen without bloodletting. The progressives, the young progressives, are going to be held off, and there's going to be a price to be paid for that, right?
But see, I put a distinction between someone like Nancy Pelosi, because she's a politician. You know, she's a Democratic politician, but she's a politician, and she's basically just holding forth right now.
Right.
She's also, and the same thing with Maxine Waters and some of the
Even Clyburn.
Oh, yeah. They're dyed-in-the-wool Democratic politicians, but they don't necessarily represent the Democratic Party. As you stated, you've got progressives. You've got the left-wing leaders. You've got the gender-based elements of the party. They're different factions. But they don't have the kind of gravitas that they don't have a leader, man. Who's the leader of the Democratic Party?
Hey, well, they say Joe Biden, but that's at the root of it. Man,
you know, when Barack Obama was president, you know, he said, "Hey, I'm not the leader of the Democratic Party. I'm the president."
Right.
Okay. So as a result, you know, it's no great shakes to be leader of the Democratic Party. But, you know, everybody knows who the leader of the Republican Party is. And see, that's the difference. Until there's a real force behind leadership in the Democratic Party, it'll be splintered, and it's going to pay for that splintering at the polls.
Fred, but man, you know, you're breaking people's hearts with the truth, right? We know what's coming. Because you and I know. When is the next time, once Republicans get control of these things, they just had control a little over 2 years ago. And we know what their agenda is. And now they're getting ready to get right back there. And people are saying, well, I voted Democrat because, you know, we didn't want Donald Trump. But now we find out, you know, Joe Biden is this and he's that. And even though we know how bad the Republicans are, hey Fred, we know how bad the Republicans are, but we're going to vote for them anyway. I don't understand that.
Oh, believe me. I think that because the psyche of the country is so fractured right now that there's no sound reasoning to even conceive of someone like Trump being elected again. that makes me shudder to think that America could go in that direction again. And that's why there's still hope, brother. That's all we can have, that someone will emerge, that something will emerge that will strengthen, you know, this dying democracy that we have, because it's dying on the vine, Earl. It really is.
You know, Fred, it is. I come in here every day, or at least Monday through Friday, trying to get the American people to understand, if you don't stop paying attention to what's happening, you can no longer just live in your own bubble. This experiment called America is in serious, serious trouble. And people had better understand that, Fred.
I think people do understand it, Earl. I do. People understand it because it's being told to us every day how catastrophic, and there's so many instances that we can point to. People know.
Hey, Fred, can you hang on one more segment?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number on the line, Fred. And thank you, man, for hanging in there, man. So many things going on as I've been trying to get the listening audience. If you just tabulate all of these things that are happening in this country right now, it's really just mind-blowing. And before we went to break, man, we were talking about the Democratic Party and where they are. And so, Fred, you know, we're really at a point where at the state levels, Republicans control everything. You know, there was a time, Fred, when we knew blue-collar people who lived in rural areas were Democrats. We knew where Democrats were.
Yeah.
Coming from, right? They were from urban cities. The Democrats were there. This is where the strength of the Democratic Party was. Let me ask you, because I often hear Democrats say, and especially on a national scale, that Democrats must start listening to the rural communities and hearing what they are saying. In essence, catering to the rural communities and basically ignoring the urban centers where they get, you know, the majority of their votes from. Well, what do you think? What do you say when you hear that kind of conversation? It's going on everywhere. Democrats have forgotten the rural people, and so they need to start focusing on that.
Well, I think that Democrats have to clearly understand what works in America now. And the emphasis on the quote rural community, unquote, is just another phrase for white males. And if the Democratic Party wants to succeed beyond electing presidents, because Democrats can elect presidents, it's happened, and I think it'll happen again, depending on, you know, the circumstances. But, you know, the Democrats have to do what the Republicans have done and make that message clear. Because as I was saying earlier, back in the day, back in the 50s, back in the 40s, back in the 60s, the Democratic Party was the party of the little guy.
Right.
And you could be a little guy in the county or in the city. But those interests were brought together. That used to be the template. Now, these parties are like cults of personality to me. And whoever, Hillary Clinton's got another book out. It's a murder mystery about her life. So here she is talking her book, and that these people never go away. And that's part of the problem with the Democrats. They keep retreading, you know, people who used to be in office, not understanding that that song doesn't resonate anymore. It happened in Virginia with McAuliffe. He lost to this guy, Youngkin. And he had already been governor once before. So the Democrats need to relate to the base. What is the base of the party? You know, the Republicans talk about the base all the time. Trump has the base. So what is the base of the Democratic Party? It used to be black people. It used to be black voters. But now our rights are being stripped away every day. And to that extent, if you want to focus on rural folks, there's plenty of opportunities to do that, it seems to me.
You know,
that's my view.
You know, Fred, it is the correct view. And you just know that those in leadership in the Democratic Party either don't know that or aren't going to figure it out in time enough. And they're going to lose on both sides. Because people in these urban centers also realize and feel like they've been abandoned, right? I mean,
well, they're not going to vote for Republicans.
I know that it's a question about whether they're going to vote or not.
Yeah, that's the key.
And if you don't vote, it's really a vote for Republicans.
Like Bernie Sanders. That's why somebody like Bernie Sanders, if he wanted to run again, could be even more advantageous, because he still has a solid constituency of young people that will vote for him and that will go to bat for him and work for him.
So Fred, let's turn the page and let's talk about immigration, because again, this is another one of those questions and conversations that is so critically important. We live in a nation, Fred, that you and I know and everybody else knows, there aren't enough Americans that are going to be willing to work these jobs that pay basically minimum wage. Our society can't survive without it. And then you've got people on the right, and I always say, I hate to say on the right because people think that means that they're right, but people who want to do everything within their power not to let immigrants in because they believe that they're going to vote Democrat. And in the meantime, the society suffers because there's nobody to do the work.
Well, I think obviously it's a very complicated issue, right. But here's what I'll say about it. There have to be controls. And the question becomes, are the controls going to be detrimental to the existence of the economy as we know it? Because you're absolutely right, Earl. Immigrants are very critical to maintaining the infrastructure of this country, right, particularly in the Southwest, the Southeast, certainly where I live, that is definitely the case. And workers are needed, and they're going to be coming in. We just don't want to see the kinds of hand situations that we just witnessed with those folks that were found
in the truck,
in a semi-trailer.
Right.
That's what makes it such a horrific issue to deal with. So it's easy to say, let's cut off the immigration flow, because in certain parts of the country, it might be problematic. It may not be as problematic here in North Carolina or in Wisconsin. But in those states on the border, yeah, there need to be controls, because the economy is going to be affected. So, I mean, the debate goes on, and, you know, there's no easy solution to it. You can't put children in cages like right. Trump did. you know, and there are, but that's what they do. So I'm still optimistic, if I can use that term, that at least things will be ameliorated to some degree. But I can't see a way out of instituting some kind of control, because down the road, you know how this works, Earl. 5, 10, 15 years from now, it's not going to get any better.
Hey, but, and Fred, but you also know, and I know you understand, that that at the root of all of this movement is policies that are happening in Central America that we have kind of upset the apple carts in those nations.
We have no clear understanding of the policy that affects those countries, except that we're being told that that's where all the gangs come from.
No, Fred.
The Republicans have now shaped the discussion and the debate around Mexican gangs, Guatemalan gangs that have, you know, come into the United States and are now, you know, running the drug trade. And there's no counter to that. I haven't heard it.
No, there's no counter to it, Fred. But the other side of that coin is when you look at Guatemala and El Salvador and those areas, and you see that our policies we've determined who's in leadership in those countries so we can do what we do as a nation, and we put in power who we want in power, and we've done that historically. And so those people are leaving many of those areas because of our policies. And that's why
because of the gangsters that the U.S. put into power.
Yeah, that's
who they thought were about democracy.
Right.
To be sure. You know, I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you who the president of Guatemala is.
Neither can I.
Nor Honduras, nor El Salvador. I just know that they exist.
Right.
Number one. And number two, I know that gangsters come out of there and they come to America. And they do whatever it is that they do from a gangster standpoint. But, you know, nobody knows those people. And as a result, whatever the policies are, I don't know what the policies are.
No. But we know what
the policies are. That's a whole nother discussion and that's why I say it's complicated, Earl, because there's so many things that we don't know that we have to investigate and find out and determine, what a course of conduct should be.
But, Fred, what we do know is whatever's happening there is leading to a flood of people who are risking their lives and taking only the clothes on their back to walk across deserts to try to get here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And sometimes something horrible happens.
Right.
The folks who perished. And it makes you look at what's going on in that part of the country. And again, what are the policies? What happens? Because it's not going to stop. It's only going to get worse.
So, Fred, as you stated in all of this, it's all complicated. It's all complicated. And just because it's complicated doesn't mean that we as Americans shouldn't try to find out why, right? I mean...
Exactly.
I mean, because it impacts and affects all of our lives. So, Fred, we got eight minutes left. Fred, we got about 8 minutes left. You want to hang in there one more time?
Sure.
All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's great to have a conversation with you, man. Miss doing that. Be right back. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. All right, Welcome back to the final few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to thank my good friend, attorney Fred Gordon, and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Fred, and the last subject, abortion. So there are people who seem to think, on the Democratic side of things, that the abortion issue is going to supersede all of the other things we've been talking about prior to getting to this subject. And somehow Democrats are going to wind up through abortion, holding on to the House and the Senate. You say what?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think what's going to happen is that it will be discussed, debated, discoursed, all of that. But it's not going to make a real difference in the midterms, in my view, because this was something that people knew was going to happen. It was already leaked. And one thing about government these days, man, even the judicial branch has drama. You know, it can't contain its leaks. You know, stuff gets out, and that's purposeful, Earl. That never happened before. Stuff is happening now, you know, in the various branches of government, and that's why there needs to be continued education from a civics standpoint. There's a documentary on Netflix about attorney Ben Crump, and it's called Civil. And now, you know, he's the go-to attorney for these families who are affected by police misconduct.
Yeah, right.
So, and the reason why I bring him up is because, you know, civics to me are still important. It's why I got into electoral politics. It's why I consider myself, you know, a politician, small p. And I'm still always fascinated by the machinations and the politics, as you put it, that emanate from these institutions. So all of that just says to me that this issue is important. It can still be fought, and it should be fought. I've always been pro-choice and always will be. And the devastating part is how it's going to hurt Black women, particularly in the South, where most of these laws have reigned supreme for quite some time. But is it going to happen? Is it going to be something that will tip the scales? I don't think so.
You know, Fred, that was kind of like the one thing that many of us have been holding on to, knowing the outcome almost already of the midterms. And you even hear Democrats who know that they're not going to be able to, you know, hold on to these particular seats. But, Fred, you know, the other hope was that the suburban woman would be angry enough that they've taken away that option, that they would come out in leaps and bounds and somehow rescue the Democrats, even though some of these women have been independent and would swing over once again to Democrat.
That's a possibility. We don't know at this stage how that's going to pan out. I think we'll probably have more information in the early fall.
Right.
That could be a situation that could occur.
But
the percentages are not that substantial at this point.
You know, Fred, out of all the things and all the stuff, things that we discussed this morning, what you said, out of all those things that sticks with me more than all the other things, is that this fact that the Democrats are in serious, serious trouble politically is real and could last some time.
Well, it could. And I think that the way that you change that is that you've got to be strong and strident in what you believe in. Right now, the Democrats are being disposed of in many respects by the Republican propaganda machine. And whatever you, wherever you get your politics from, if you get politics, there's just so many places where you can get the right information. And what kind of information? See, I'm so skeptical now that I'm from the Marvin Gaye school of analysis. You believe half of what you see,
and none of what you hear.
None of what you hear. And that serves me well because, you know, things change so quickly. Just listening to your news feed, that happened yesterday. And, you know, you're still talking about it. And I'm talking about the January 6th hearing.
Yeah, right.
So now things are just happening so fast, but you have to still analyze and you still have to continue working. And young people, it's up to the young people, man. Whatever happens in America henceforth will be dictated by young people.
You know, Fred.
Far younger than you and I.
You know.
We get to be sages. And I like being a sage.
One of our mutual good friends said to me, Dr. Howard Fuller. I talked with him about a month ago, and I was talking to him about something. Mm-hmm. And you know what he told me? He said, I said, well, these young people don't want to hear what the elders have to say. And he said to me, Earl, it's their time now. And you know what, Fred?
Yeah.
He said, you know, he said, it was our time at a given time. And so now it's their time. And really, Fred, that's kind of what it is, right?
Oh, it should be, yes. If people call me up and ask me what I think about something, and if I feel like telling them, I will. But I'm not trying to impose, you know, my philosophy on anyone. It's right. My philosophy. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to share your concerns with people, and there's a response and there's some dialogue going on, that's always important because the whole thing is about communication, Earl.
Right.
How you communicate to people, how you convey thoughts and aspects and facts and all those things. And you can do it by yelling and screaming or you can do it by having a real conversation. And the conversation doesn't have to be lengthy, but right. It certainly has to be worth the time that you put into it.
Listen, man, and having echoed those words, I want to thank you, man, for taking this time out this morning.
Hey, brother, it's always a pleasure to chop it up with you, just like old times.
Yeah, man, and having this, you know, spending this time with us and looking at things from a perspective, that old school perspective that I still, even though it's not our time, it's always good to hear from the old school perspective. Thank you, man. We'll talk soon.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, thanks, man. Good talking to you. That's former alderman of the city of Milwaukee and attorney Fred Gordon, who now lives in sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, we spent a lot of time talking today about a myriad of different subjects. And the one thing that's for certain is that we both agree. We don't always agree on everything, but we do agree that this is a time, you know, like there never was a time, and we got to address it as that. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sam. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.